you know, she started having these treatments in beauty salons in department stores, you know, where they wrap your legs up in seaweed and bandages and they put you in a little room under a hot lamp. I don't know what it is for cellulite, but it's a marvellous deterrent for shoplifters. No, it's supposed to sort of squeeze all the fluid out of your legs and make them all smooth. I mean, it sort of worked with her, you know. They took the bandages off and her legs were all smooth, but her head was twice the size with lumps all over. So then, she said, she was going to go on a detoxification diet. She was just going to have brown rice and water and organic vegetables and all this. Well, that's all right, except I do her shopping for her, you see. Now, I know why I do, because she stopped driving a car, because she's very environmentally conscious, and she said they were so damaging to the environment and they contributed to global warming and all this. This is ignoring the fact that the fumes are coming from the bottom of a person on a brown rice diet. It's enough to melt a polar ice cap all by itself. Anyway, she doesn't drive, so she could go down the local shops, but she won't go in the greengrocer's because she says the greengrocer is sexist and patronising because he calls you dear, which he does when you go in. He says, hello, dear. Well, I don't care, you see. I'm not bothered. I don't care if he says, hello, dear, hello, love, like your new hairdo, can I pop my cucumber in between your Maris Pipers? Well, she won't go, so I do the shopping for both of us. I go to my supermarket on a Friday afternoon, which is not a good time to go, and it's got a terrible car park, which is supposed to be one way, and is always full of 78-year-old women going the other way, steering with their knees while they try and open a package of biscuits, like me. And I always get a bit flustered, like, where am I supposed to park, you know, because we've got all these designated spaces, spaces for people in wheelchairs, spaces for people on crutches, spaces for people with no children, spaces for people with children, spaces for people who want to conceive children, long spaces. I'm ovulating, I'll have to do it now. And I think, well, do I want a trolley or a basket, you know, because there's hundreds of different baskets. Baskets if it's on your wheelchair, baskets if it's on your walking frame, talking baskets for if you're blind, listening baskets for if you're lonely. And hundreds of different trolley, all with a different baby seat. Seats for weenie babies, bigger babies, huge obnoxious babies with earrings and a hairband and a bracelet. Twin babies, tiny baby, big child, big baby, tiny child. Toddler's trolley that's a sort of mesh cage with an electrified fence around it. Good. Well, I've got different ways of shopping, you know, depending on how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling really rushed, I just run up and down the first aisle and just grab the first five things I can see in that aisle and I go straight to the quick checkout. And that's all right till I get home. Then I have to try and think, now, what can I cook with tinned tomatoes, a Daily Mirror and a bunch of freezers? And then sometimes, if I'm feeling really insecure, I just tag along behind somebody else. And I just buy whatever they're buying. I mean, it has to be somebody who looks vaguely like me, you know. I think Judy Finnegan is getting a bit fed up with it now, but... Anyway, Louise has given me this list of stuff to get for her detoxification, eggs and tomatoes and bread, and I get it all and I take it back to her house and she's sifting through it. She said, oh, I can't have these tomatoes, they're from Chile. I don't approve of the regime in Chile. I said, which tomatoes am I supposed to get? She said, well, get me Jersey tomatoes. I said, I'm not getting anything from Jersey. It's against my principles. That's where they filmed Bergerac. And she said, and these eggs are not free range. I said, well, I know they're not free range, but they're barn fresh. You know, I thought that was nearly the same thing, and they were a lot cheaper. She said, no, 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 very, very bad for hens to be kept in a barn. Very bad for their mental condition. I said, oh, yes, it says this on the lid here, cheaper eggs from barmy chickens. I said, is the bread all right? No, the bread's not all right. It's got additives in it. I said, well, of course it's got additives in it. You know, this is England. We live off additives. We need them. They keep us healthy and strong and able to cope with other horrible aspects of British life, like swirly stair carpets and plug-in air fresheners. Anyway, she won't have it, so I have to go back the second time, and I'm more careful. I get free-range eggs, additive-free bread, mushrooms gathered by non-scrap metal-dealing Czechoslovakian gypsies. And I take it all back, and she's sifting through. I said, are the eggs all right? She said, well, they are free-range, but it doesn't specify what diet the hens have been fed on. Is the bread all right? No, the bread's not all right. It's got gluten in it. I said, well, of course it's got gluten in it, and that's what holds bread together. If you didn't have any gluten, all you get would be a load of cellophane and some dust. Well, she won't have it, so I have to go back the third time, and I am really careful the third time. I get South African grapes grown by a man who once borrowed a lawnmower off Nelson Mandela. I get additive-free, gluten-free whole grain bread containing natural iron, B vitamins, and the lyrics of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And free-range eggs from chickens that are fed on a vegetarian diet, go on walking holidays in the north of Scotland, are encouraged to form lesbian relationships with other chickens and live in sheltered housing with a video entry phone. Well, a week of eating like that, she still had cellulite, and the week after that, she was back on the licorice all sorts. So then she said to me she was going to attack it from another angle altogether, colonic irrigation. She just came out of the blue one day. She said to me, I'm having my bottom hoovered out next Wednesday. Do you want to come with me? I said, I thought you'd never ask. She said, now, it's not everybody's cup of tea. She said, you know what they do? They put this tube in and they whoosh all this water around and all this stuff comes out and you can see it coming out on a sort of little video screen. I said, well, I don't think that would bother me, you know? I've sat through a few programmes with Anthea Turner in them. I don't think a bit of loose bowel lining is going to bother me one way or the other. Well, the place was really clean, which is important, isn't it, if you're going to get your intestines out on the table. There's got to be a fair amount of hygiene involved. You don't have to be going home with a colon covered in cat hairs, do you, really? And the woman was really nice, you know. She's putting Louise on a bed and covering up with a blanket and washing her hands. And she used to be a bus conductress, but she couldn't stick the smell of the coppers and all this. So she puts in this tube and she starts whooshing around all this water. And all this stuff is coming out, but you can't really see what you're looking at. It's like looking at a little black and white television set. But I mean, the woman can, because she's trained to identify waste matter at any distance. You know, like some people can identify aircraft just from the shape of the wings. Well, she can look at a little blob of old poo-poo and go, that's a cheese and pickle granary torpedo, August 1994. So she's whooshing in more and more water, more and more layers of old residue are coming away, and the woman is identifying everything as it comes out, because it goes back years, you know, all this stuff. And the woman is going, pre-decimalisation Maltesers, Farley's Rusks. And poor Louise is getting smaller and smaller like this. She sat there like a punctured Lilo at the end. And so we go home on the bus. They only charged her half fare, so that was good. And we get back. I said, right, take all your clothes off. And I'm having a good look. I said, you've still got it. I said, you've still got cellulite. I said, I don't think you'll ever get rid of it. It's like trying to get Imelda Marcos to come out of Saxon. Come on, you can't be done. And she said, oh, well, let's forget it. Let's forget it. You know, I'm more than my cellulite. You know, I should just ignore it. I should draw attention to my good points. I should wear false eyelashes and keep playing the piccolo and it won't be a problem. Well, that was all right until we had the hot weather last summer and she decided she wanted to be able to wear a bikini. Now, I don't have this urge that a lot of women have got to wear a bikini because I know I'm not the right shape for a bikini and I know what shape I am because I read it in a book. Honestly, I was in this bookshop flicking through this stupid book about body shapes and it said that all women could be divided into one of four basic body shapes and that was pear shape, hourglass, triangle and rectangle. And I was a rectangle. I mean, it actually said it in the book. It said, famous rectangles, Jennifer Saunders. More generous example, Victoria Wood. Oh, well, thanks a lot. But blimey, you know, I don't do drugs. I try and keep my name out of the papers. There I am, down in black and white, as an example of a generous rectangle. I mean, what a stupid way to categorise people anyway. I mean, I don't think of my three best friends as two pears in a triangle. I think of them as Moni, Groni and Split Ends. But it was one of these really annoying books. It was one of these make the best of yourself books, which I hate, you know, because sometimes I don't want to make the best of myself. Sometimes I want to make the worst of myself. Sometimes I want to sit around in the sort of old trousers that if you sent them to Bosnia in the middle of winter, they'd write back, no thanks, we're not that desperate. And it said things like, buy a good bra. Well, who ever went out to try and buy a bad bra? I mean, it's not like you ever went to Marks and Spencer's and said, have you got anything grey and droopy with a hook missing? You might as well, because that's what you end up with. But and it said rectangles. We had to wear fitted suits. We had to wear geometric jewellery. We had to wear rectangular watches. I don't know what hourglasses had to do. Strap an egg timer to their wrists, presumably. But Louise, she was a pear shape. She wanted to be able to wear a bikini. So I said to her, just wear one. You know, it's not illegal to have cellulite. And she said, oh, she couldn't. She didn't have the confidence. I said, this is stupid now. This is going too far. You're a nice person. You're kind. You answer the front door even when you know it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And she burst into tears. She collapsed on the carpet. She said, you don't understand what my life is like with this cellulite. She said, I never go out. I never have sex. I sit in night after night eating biscuits. I've reached rock bottom. I said, that's your rock bottom? Those are my retirement plans. I said, look, I know what we'll do. I said, come with me to my gym and we'll exercise and stuff. I'm sure exercise can do something. And she said, oh, no, she couldn't come to the gym. It would be full of posers in thong leotards. I said, oh, not my gym. Everybody looks like me. Everybody's an ancient mother. Nobody could cope with a thong leotard. In fact, for a high-impact class, a lot of us wear Pampers. Oh, just tell him it's quicker. She said she was fed up of messing about. She was going to have cosmetic surgery by a personally recommended cosmetic surgeon. I said, personally recommended by whom? She said, the woman in the dry cleaners. I said, if you mean that woman with the three eyebrows, be careful. She said, well, you haven't seen her lately. I said, no, I won't go in that dry cleaners. That woman is a terrible dry cleaner because she chain smokes the whole time. Everything comes back reeking of cigarettes. I don't really want to get lung cancer from my own cardigan. She said, well, you haven't seen her, but she's had a complete radical facelift. She looks marvellous. I said, what's a radical facelift? She said, I think they take your face off, wash it, starch it, iron it, and put it back again. So she's got really, really tight skin. She looks fantastic. I said, can she smile? She said, she doesn't need to smile. She's a manic depressive. I said, well, they have mood swings, you know. I said, suppose she has a good day at the dry cleaners. Suppose she gets a load of gravy out of somebody's eiderdown. What does she do then? They just let out two darts at the back of her neck. I said, look, don't rush into anything. I said, at least send off, you know, to the clinic for the brochure. So the brochure came, all sounded very nice, very vague. But it said at the bottom, you're very welcome to come and have a look round. I said, that's what we should do. We should go and have a look round. Well, it sounded really posh. It was called the Abbey Grange Radiant Appearance Centre. And we turned up in this little house next to a chip shop on a main road. So I stood there knocking on the front door, all looked a bit dusty, you know, needed repainting, and I'm peering in through the windows, and all the pictures are crooked. I said to her, would you want any sort of breast work done by somebody who can't even level up two picture hooks? Well, the front door opens, and there stands this nurse with a party hat on her head like this. And she got a glass of formaldehyde in one hand with a cocktail cherry in it, and an earlobe in the other. I don't know how it happens. There's always something left over. Anyway, come through. Are you having a look round? Now, don't worry about us being bang next to the chip shop like this, which, by the way, only uses pure vegetable oil. There is no deal going on with the leftovers from the liposuction. Though I must admit, if we run out of the silicone implants for the breast enlargements, those little sachets of tartar sauce are spot on. Anyway, come through. Sorry, we're a bit chaotic at the moment. We're in the middle of a leaving party for one of the nurses. We all clubbed together to get her a nose job. She woke up halfway through and said she really wanted a tease made, but too late by then, he'd already started chiselling. That's our surgeon, Mr. Stevens. Shaking Stevens, we call him. No, I'm only kidding. One of his hands is fabulous. Anyway, come through. They'll all be down in a minute when they finish the hokey-cokey. Can you hear them? Put your left leg in. I don't know whose left leg they're doing that with. Anyway, come through. This is the waiting area. This is where you can sit down and choose what procedure you might like to have done. We've got two on special offer at the moment. We've got the Greta Garbo. That's the removal of the back molars here. Implants here, give more defined cheekbones. Looks fantastic. Some people have trouble with the chewing afterwards. No, I'm very frank with people.